Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all mothers. You all know my husband. He's a district mentor overseeing the CGs in Genesis District. And one of the questions that he often gets is this: who is your wife and how does she look like? Well, she looks like that, lor. You see on the screen a photo of my family. Pastor Darwin and I have two children. Our daughter Hannah, she's 22 this year and she attends BBJ Center here with us. Hannah is currently studying in a local university where she also serves in the Christian Fellowship. A fun fact about Hannah: she has been playing Candy Crush since 12th of May, 2017. That is exactly 7 years ago. And she tells me that she has played more than 11,000 levels. Wow, I don't play Candy Crush, but it sounds like too much for me. Our son Benjamin is 20 and he is currently serving in the National Service. He attends Woodlands Center and is serving in the Youth and Worship Ministry there. That's the reason why you don't see him often here at BBJ Center. However, I call him the CEO of BBJ Center. You know why? CEO stands for Christmas and Easter only. He makes an effort to join us for special occasions like today. He's here with us. A fun fact about Ben: he enjoys playing on his racing simulator at home and has raced around the world, virtually, of course. As you can see, I have very normal kids. They play computer games, they play handphone games. But I love them to bits, and I'm very proud of them. My life is a little less interesting, but I love to bake, I love to watch my kids grow up, and I enjoy going for long walks with my husband. I join my husband in his ministry whenever I can. You know what they say about pastors and their wives, right? You buy one, yeah, get one free. Okay, jokes aside, it's a privilege to bring you God's Word today. But before that, I would like to first pay a tribute to our mothers here. On the screen now, you see some familiar faces from Generation Boomers all the way to Gen Alpha. A shout out to mummies who contributed these photos. Thank you once again for sharing them with us. Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a bittersweet moment. For some, it is a happy occasion to celebrate the love and good memories. Yet for some, it is a complex mix of emotions ranging from sadness to loss, guilt to regrets. As we honor mothers among us, we want to acknowledge the different experiences faced by different mothers and some of their children too. And so, will you join me as I lead in the following prayer? Let's pray. Dear Father, we approach your throne on behalf of all mothers. Thank you for creating each one of them unique. We are grateful for the sacrifices each mom gives for her children. We pray that you give them wisdom and strength. Help them to see the eternal significance that you place on motherhood. We pray for single parents and guardians who lean on you for the mothering or fathering of their children. We also pray for those who are unable to have their own children. And we ask that you fill their hearts with the joy of knowing you. We bring before you mothers who have lost their children through death, miscarriage, abortions, or failed adoptions. We want to pray a special prayer for children who have lost their mothers. We mourn with them and we ask you, Lord, to comfort them. Fill their soul with your unconditional love. We pray for mothers who are ill and have children who depend on them for their care, and also for those who parent children with special needs, specific learning needs, or health conditions. We ask that you be their source of spiritual, physical, and mental strength. We pray for those who have strained relationships and for those who have experienced abuse at the hands of their loved ones. Heal their pain, Lord, and we pray for the release of forgiveness and for reconciliation. For those who are foster moms, mental moms and spiritual moms, we ask you, Lord, to increase their faith. And for those who are stepmoms, we pray for greater intimacy with their stepchildren. We pray for mothers who have emptier nests in the upcoming year, that they will have a fulfilling life in the years ahead. We pray for mothers who are caring for their aged parents. Grant them grace and compassion, that their parents may see the goodness of God through their examples. Finally, we pray for those who are pregnant with new life. We ask you, Lord, for your presence to be in the sanctuary of their womb. As we hear your word today, teach us to be more like Jesus. Open our eyes that we may see the wonderful promises in your word. Open our hearts as we receive your word to cleanse us and transform us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Good morning once again, and welcome to Covenant Pulpit. Today I'll be sharing with you a topical sermon entitled, The God Who Sees. Today's sermon reveals to us two things about the God who sees. One, the God who sees, sees you. And we see this in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 16. And two, the God who sees opens your eyes. And we see this in Genesis 21, verses 8 to 21. Today's text records for us the life of two mothers found in the Old Testament. Okay, Bible trivia time, just based on these verses from the Bible. Now, who can tell me the two mothers mentioned in today's text? Hannah. Hannah? that's my daughter. That's not the mother that's mentioned here. But it starts with H. Yes, Hagar and Sarah, yes. Okay, I'll be zooming in on the life of Hagar today. Hagar was an Egyptian slave, a handmaiden of Sarah. She was a personal servant of Sarah. And who is Sarah? Sarah was the wife of the patriarch Abraham. Let's begin with the first point, the God who sees, sees you. The background to the story in Genesis 16 is found in Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, God makes a covenant with the 75-year-old Abraham. Now, this is before Abraham's name is changed to Abraham. Abraham is called by God for a very important mission. He is to be the man to bring forth a nation, and God promises him that he will have descendants as many as the stars in the sky. Now, there's just one problem, and we all know what that problem is. He has no children after many years. So how can he build a nation without a child? In Genesis 16, we read that Abraham's wife Sarai, whose name is later changed to Sarah, is still barren after waiting for 10 years. Abraham is already 85 years old. She becomes impatient and takes matters into her own hands. She tells her husband to take Hagar to be his second wife. Now, this was a practice in the ancient Near East then, you see. A woman who was unable to conceive would be seen as a disgrace. So, she would give her husband, her personal servant, as a second wife, that she may give the family an heir. H-E-I-R, heir. Soon, Hagar is pregnant. And when she realizes that she is carrying Abraham's child, she becomes proud and looks down on her mistress. Hagar's arrogance offended Sarai, and Sarai starts to mistreat her. What Sarai actually does to Hagar, we do not know. The Bible doesn't record for us. She may have called her names, she may have hit her or not given her any food to eat. She may have even kicked her out of her house. I hope none of us are doing that to our helpers, huh? For Hagar, the abuse must be so bad that she decides to run away. And where would Hagar go? She would want to go home, right? And her home is in Egypt. And the only way home is through the desert. About 7 years ago, my family visited Israel and we went to this place called Genesis Land. Genesis Land is situated in the heart of the Judean desert, on the way to the Dead Sea. We experienced firsthand what it was like to be in a desert. The desert is a dry and empty vast piece of land. In fact, up to two-thirds of the land mass of Israel now is desert. This means that during Bible times, a lot more of the land is desert. I also remember feeling thirsty and having these bad throbbing headaches because the air there is just so arid. Now let's go back to the story. Hagar makes her way towards Egypt, and she ends up in the desert, a roadway to Shur. She must be thirsty, she must be tired. Thankfully, she finds a spring of water by the road, and there she takes a rest. And it is there, in the desert, that the angel of the Lord finds her and speaks to her. Now, in Old Testament writing, whenever we read about the angel of the Lord or the angel of God appearing to people, it is representative of God Himself appearing. Let's look at Genesis chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, and see what God says to Hagar. And He said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." After this, the angel of the Lord goes on to tell Hagar God's plan for her. He tells her that she will have a son, and she is to name him Ishmael. He also tells her what sort of person Ishmael would grow up to be, and also that she will have many descendants. Then, in verse 13, we see this. Let's read this together, shall we? "She, Hagar, gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. 'You are the God who sees me.' For she said, 'I have now seen the one who sees me.'" After this incident, Hagar returns to Sarai just as God has instructed. And in due time, she gives birth to her son, Ishmael. Now let's go back to the text. In verse 13, we read that Hagar called God the God who sees me. In Hebrew, the word for the God who sees me is this word, El Roi. Incidentally, Hagar is the only person in the Hebrew Bible who gave God a name. Let's look at this excerpt taken from a Bible commentary. In the surprising move unparalleled in Scripture, Hagar, a woman, gave a name to God. "You are the God who sees me," El Roi. With this name, she praised God for having come to her rescue and for giving her a promise of hope. Now, think with me. Why did Hagar call God the God who sees me? Why didn't she call God the God who strengthens me? Surely Hagar needed to be strong because she was pregnant. Being out in a desert alone, she would be thinking about how she could survive with an unborn child. Or why not the name, the God who delivers me from my afflictions? Hagar had just been mistreated by her mistress, and surely she would want justice to be done to her. God was definitely all that to Hagar, but I believe there was something else as to why Hagar named God El Roi, the God who sees me. Something that I believe fulfilled a need in her heart. It must be very tough being a slave in Abraham's household. Being a foreigner with a low status, Hagar must have felt insignificant, of little value, or perhaps invisible. She was given to Abraham by her barren mistress to be a surrogate mother. She knew that after the baby was born, it would be given to Sarai. It was not her child to keep. She was only a tool. Therefore, I believe that Hagar called God the God who sees me because she had a personal encounter with God. Let's look at verse 13 again. "She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. 'You are the God who sees me.' For," she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." In this encounter with God, Hagar saw God. She was awakened to the spiritual reality of God's presence in her life. She recognized God's attention on her and not just on her situation. She had felt that she was a nobody, but now God showed up and made known to her that she is a somebody. He made known to her that He noticed her. It is human nature to want to be noticed, isn't it? We go onto Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, social media, so that someone would notice our posts or messages. It is human nature to want to be praised, to be affirmed, to be validated, to be acknowledged. We get frustrated when someone blue ticks us, right? It is not a good feeling to feel ignored. On the other hand, we feel cared for when someone notices us and asks how we have been doing. The God who sees Hagar is the same God who sees us. The God who sees you. I know that it can be quite a scary thought that God sees us, especially now when we know that we are supposed to be paying attention to the sermon, yet we are drifting away, googling for the best place for lunch, texting on our phones, maybe even some of us even right now on our online shopping apps. We don't want to be seen when we are not on our best behavior. But you know, while sometimes we don't like to be noticed, it is at the same time comforting to know that we have a God who cares for us, watching over us 24/7. Psalm 139 is a familiar psalm. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. When we pray to God, we are praying to a God who knows everything about us. God never misses a detail of what is happening. He sees everything. God's presence is with us, always. This photo is taken in 2008. You can see my husband there with his Mao Zedong hairdo. When we were staying in China for a few years, some friends there actually said he looked like Chairman Mao. So I guess this photo proves it. You see, in this photo taken in late March 2008, Hannah was 6 and Ben was 4 then. About a week later, on the 2nd of April, I was having a meeting at work when I received a text from my husband. The text said something like this. We met with a car accident, but the children are all right. Soon after, he sent me this photo on my phone and then called me to describe the accident. My husband and my two children were in this taxi. As the taxi approached the traffic junction, the driver attempted to beat the red light, but he did not notice a stationary lorry in front of him. Once he saw it, he tried to avoid the lorry by swerving to his right, narrowly missing a head-on collision. But it still caused the door of the passenger's seat to be ripped off, as you see in this picture. The impact also caused the glass window from the door to shatter and scatter onto them who were seated at the back seat. How would you feel if you hear something like that on your phone? I certainly wasn't paying attention to the meeting. My thoughts were all over the place. Thoughts like, what if it wasn't just the front door that was ripped off? What if they had forgotten to fasten their seatbelts? The one thought that dominated over the rest was this. What if I lose all three members of my family in the accident? I would be left alone. The family photo that you saw earlier would have been the last family photo we took together. And I would never see my husband in his Mao Zedong hairdo again. There was so much fear. And suddenly I felt so anxious. I felt so insecure. For months after that accident, whenever I was on the street and the taxi, especially one that looks like this, drove past, I would tense up. I could literally feel chills running down my spine. I was so afraid to step into a taxi with my children. I couldn't sleep well for many nights because of the anxiety. And I became so anxious whenever my children were not by my side. I felt lost, helpless, and like Hagar, I felt fearful. I was in my own desert, and I desperately wanted to get out of it. During those days, Psalm 139 anchored me. I claimed the promise of God's abiding presence in my life and my family's life, knowing that even when I'm not around to watch my children, He is with them all the time. Looking back, I understood why God wanted me to go through that experience. You see, a few years after that accident, God was going to send my family to a country where the traffic conditions are not the safest in the world. A country where taxi seatbelts don't work. Some of you may be thinking right now, my situation is nothing like yours. Well, you may not share the same experiences as me, but perhaps you can relate to the emotions that I felt. We all have our own deserts. Different church members have shared with me the difficulties that they go through. Some are still going through them, and they last for many years. Friends, mothers, today we are comforted again to know that we have a God who is always with us. He knows and He understands. God sees our pain, no matter how deep. He sees our struggles, no matter how intense. He sees our anxieties, no matter how heightened. He sees our loneliness, no matter how dark. We can rest in His presence even when things do not turn out the way we expect. Sometimes, it does take a desert experience before we see God. A time when we are awakened to the spiritual reality of God's comforting presence. Psalm 56, verse 8 is a promise that I hold close to my heart. This psalm is written by King David during one of his darkest moments. You, referring to God, keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. None of the tears that we have shed before God goes to waste. We can always come to God no matter how bad the situation we are going through, because the God who sees you. Now, this God who sees you is the same God who opens your eyes. Let's go back to the text and see what happens to Hagar next. 13 years have passed, and God renews His covenant with Abram. God changes Abram's name to Abraham. He also changes Sarah's name to Sarah. He tells Abraham that he would have a son through Sarah, and he is to call his son Isaac. And through Isaac, God is going to build a great nation. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Abraham already have Ishmael to build a nation? So Abraham is confused and asks God about it. You see, although Abraham already has Ishmael as his firstborn, Ishmael isn't the chosen one. Isaac is the chosen one whom God would establish His covenant with Abraham. 1 year later, Isaac is born. Abraham is now 100 years old. In chapter 21, we read that a few years later, Abraham throws Isaac a feast, a huge party on the day that he is weaned. According to the tradition then, a child is weaned when he is about 3 years old or even older. Now, that puts Isaac to be about 3 years old, and Ishmael to be about, are you counting? 17 years old, a teenager. Parents who have teenagers, you know what it's like to have them at home, right? Never a boring day. Being a typical teenager and feeling sidelined when his younger half-brother was born, Ishmael starts mocking at the feast. Mocking, laughing. Sarah is furious. For years, she has been feeling that Ishmael is a threat to Isaac's inheritance. Ishmael's mocking reminds her of his mother Hagar, who despised her when she was barren. Remember that incident? Sarah then demands that Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael far, far away, never to come back. Abraham is distressed. God tells Abraham not to be distressed and promises him that He has a plan for Ishmael too. He reminds Abraham that He will make Ishmael a great nation, and the only way that this will happen is that Hagar and Ishmael leaves. So Abraham takes some food and a skin of water and places them on Hagar's shoulders. He sends her off with Ishmael. Hagar wanders into the desert again, and this time to the wilderness of Beersheba, a desert region in the Negev. While in the desert, Hagar and Ishmael must have lost their way. Soon, the time comes when they are out of water. They are dehydrated and they start to grow weaker. Hagar looks at Ishmael. He is crying as strength slowly leaves him. It is too painful to watch him die. So she places him under one of the bushes, perhaps thinking it's a good spot for a grave. Hagar then moves away from Ishmael, a bow shot away, and begins to sob as she herself prepares to die. And then comes the plot twist. There and then, at her most anguished moment, God appears to her again. And this is what we read in chapter 21, verses 17 to 19. In verse 17, we read, God heard the boy crying. We see here that God is not only a God who sees, but also a God who hears. In fact, Ishmael's name actually means God hears. So in verse 17, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. The story ends with Ishmael growing up in the desert and he becomes a skilled archer. Hagar finds him a wife from Egypt, implying the start of him building a great nation, just as God has promised. Genesis 21 verse 19 says that God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. When God opened Hagar's eyes, he wasn't healing her of an eye problem. Rather, he was revealing to her what she was unable to see before. He was revealing to her what was there all along. Now, why did Hagar not see the well before? It wasn't too far away to be noticed. Perhaps the well was not so obvious. Or perhaps, in her distress, she had given up hope. She had stopped looking. Notice that before God opened Hagar's eyes to see the well of water, there were two things that he said to her that I believe are significant. If we look at verse 17 again, God says to Hagar, "Do not be afraid." In some Bible versions, it says, "Do not fear." God was definitely comforting Hagar with these words because he cared for her. But more than that, he was saying to Hagar to not give up hope and not to allow her fear of losing Ishmael to stop her from moving on. And then in verse 18, God instructed Hagar to lift the boy up and take him by the hand. In other words, he was asking Hagar to take action. God would do his part, but he needed Hagar to do her part as well. The text does not explicitly say this, but I believe that Hagar would have to place her faith in God and act in obedience, believing that God will help her. Somewhere in that brief moment, Hagar's fear was replaced with faith. Do you see the sequence here? God steps into Hagar's life, tells her what she needs to do. Hagar places her faith in God. Then God opens her eyes to show her the next step. Let me say this one more time. God steps into Hagar's life, tells her what she needs to do. Hagar places her faith in God. Then God opens her eyes to show her the next step. This same God who opens Hagar's eyes is able to open our eyes. The God who sees opens your eyes. Now, what does it mean then that God opens our eyes? It means that God can enable us to see beyond our own human limitations and weaknesses. He can help us see beyond our blind spots. He can help us see beyond our problems. However, it does require action on our part as well. Perhaps this action is a change of our mindsets. Or perhaps it is to stop believing in the lies that the devil is putting in our minds. It may be forgiving someone or to repent of a sin in our lives. It may be letting go of control. or letting go of a bitterness that we have been harboring for a long time. Or like Hagar, it may be to surrender our fears to God. In 2006, I met Florence here in BBJ Centre. We happened to be seated next to each other during service. It didn't take long for me to realise that she was my next block neighbour. It also wasn't long before I found out that she had a child with a rare medical condition. Peishan was born in 1998, August the 5th. She was born normal, but months later, she started to show physical developmental problems. The size of her body remained like a baby's, and her limbs were shorter than other normal babies. Though physically abnormal, her intellect remained intact. There was no name for her condition. This condition later brought about many other health complications. When she was two, her oxygen level dropped to zero and she turned totally blue. She was immediately admitted to the ICU. Those days in the hospital were hard for Florence. The fear of losing Peishan crushed her. She would cry in the hospital bathroom, and her own mother would also be there every day to accompany her. During those times, she would seek her Chinese gods for help until one day, she lost hope in all of them. The next bed to Peishan was a child with many visitors. Florence observed that the visitors were there to pray for the child. She secretly wished in her heart that the prayers were for Peishan. One day, a lady from the next bed walked over to Florence and asked her if she could pray for Peishan. Florence was totally shocked but gratefully agreed. As the lady prayed, Florence could not stop crying. The prayers expressed exactly what was upon her heart. The lady was like an angel sent by God. The same lady came the next day and gave a children's Bible to Peishan. Florence was hungry to know more about Jesus, but at the same time, she still asked her husband John to seek the help of the Chinese gods. John chided her and said she should choose only one god. She decided to take action. She gave up her belief in Chinese gods and to pursue Jesus only. Then God opened her eyes. Things began to change. God showed Florence a healing rally in the church. She took Peishan there, and on their first visit, as she pushed open the sanctuary door, she was greeted with the song, "God Will Make a Way." She felt God telling her that there is hope in the future. They visited the healing rally weekly, and Peishan started to change. She began to talk, walk, and listen to Christian songs. I met Peishan when she was 8 years old. She's a feisty and thoughtful girl. Peishan loved to play on a toy piano. I taught her how to play "Jesus Loves Me This I Know" on the keyboard, not knowing that God would use this talent of hers to bless the society. In January 2014, Peishan went for an audition which would permit her enrollment as a music student with the Beautiful Mind Music Academy. Peishan played the only song she knew well, and that was "Jesus Loves Me This I Know." Little did she realize that the audition was the golden key that unlocked a whole new chapter in her life. In April of that same year, Peishan made her debut performance at the Beautiful Mind charity concert at SOTA, raising funds and contributing to society. She went on to play in several other concerts, sharing the hope of Jesus through playing the piano. Then, in early 2016, Peishan's health started deteriorating quickly. On 19th January 2016, 2 weeks before her 18th birthday, Peishan died peacefully in her parents' arms. She had fought the good fight. She had finished the race. She had kept the faith, fulfilling God's plan for her because her mother had seen God, took a step of faith to believe in Jesus, and God opened her eyes to see hope for her future. Now, I believe John and Florence is here for the second service. They were here for the first service. John and Florence, if you are here, can you please stand up wherever you are? Oh, here. So I didn't see you. Thank you for sharing your story with us and encouraging us with your life. Allow me to bring this sermon to a close. The desert is a place that is dry and empty. The desert experience is not so much about the situation that's going on around us. It's really about our inner condition. Although unpleasant, the desert is also a place that invites deep reflection on our spirituality. The desert is a sacred place where we meet God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what is your desert today? We know that God sees everything and knows everything that is going on with us. Some of us know that there is something that we need to change, to take a step of faith, or something that needs action before God can show us the next step. Many of us here have gone through the Freedom in Christ course. What has God shown you? Has He placed His divine finger on a certain area in your life that He wants you to pay attention to? Will you do what He asks you to do today? Now, if this is you, I would like you to respond when we sing the response song. But before that, there's a group of friends here whom I would like to speak to. I would like to speak to my friends here who are not yet Christians. You know, friends, in the story of Hagar, God opened her eyes to see a well of water where she could drink from. In the New Testament, we read about another well. At this well, Jesus was with a Samaritan woman and He said this to her, "Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst again. The water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus was offering the gift of salvation to this woman. This same invitation to receive Jesus into your life is for you today. You have heard about Jesus, and you know that God is real. Today, if you sense that it is time for you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, then don't wait anymore. Take action today and pray this prayer with me. You can choose to pray out loud or pray silently in your heart. Shall we all close our eyes as we pray? And if you have decided to make Jesus your Lord and Savior today, if you want to become a Christian today, pray this prayer with me. Repeat each line after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I receive You into my life today. I'm sorry for all my sins. Please forgive me. Today, I acknowledge that You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Thank You for giving me eternal life. Help me to grow as a Christian. Open my eyes and show me step. In Your name I pray. Amen. Let's all continue to keep our eyes closed. If you have prayed this prayer and you have received Jesus Christ into your life today, would you very quickly put up your hands so that I can see you and pray a prayer of blessing for you? God sees you today and He's saying today, I love you. If you have prayed this prayer, would you put up your hands quickly? I would like to pray a prayer of blessing. Come, pray. Dear God, thank You for our new brothers and sisters in Christ who have chosen to follow You today. I pray that You will continue to guide them in this new life in Christ. Bless them with Your presence. Bless them with Your unconditional love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Then God will make you.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.